He promises to provide us with all good and protect us from all evil or turn it to our benefit. Aren't these absolutely incredible promises? Are we to doubt the Father's care over us? He says, I am your God and you are my people. And regarding the Son, it says when we are baptized in the name of the Son, God the Son seals to us that he washes us in his blood from all our sins and unites us with him in his death and resurrection. Thus we are freed from our sin and accounted righteous before God. And here it speaks of the forgiveness of sins, which is promised to us through the Son. When our hope and our trust is in God, we have no reason to doubt the reality of the forgiveness of sins. When we repent and we believe in the Lord Jesus, when we confess our sin to him, we know that he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all our sin. Isn't that repeatedly spoken of in the New Testament too? That through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away and we are counted righteous in the sight of God. When we are baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and will sanctify us to be members of Christ. He will apply to us what we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives till we shall finally be presented without blemish among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. He promises to continue that gracious care until the very end. You see how dependent we are upon God's care for us? We need him to hold us. We need him to lift us up, for we will certainly fall. Aren't these rich and precious promises of God's covenant care over us? Isn't that precisely what David is reflecting on in this psalm? And the fact that he reflects all the way back to his birth shows that he knew that he needed the Lord's care over him in his life. He acknowledges that God is the one who's upheld him from his birth. You took me even out of my mother's womb. And he looks back over his life and he sees God's hand in it. We need to acknowledge the same, don't we? All of us surely can do so to some degree. And this fact that God is never absent from us and that he's the one who cares for us and provides for us also means that we can trust in him at the time of the greatest challenges and troubles in our lives. There are times when God in his providence ends the life of some of our children even before they leave the wombs of their mother. God will always care for us. And we might be sure, too, that he will always provide for us as well. And that when he takes one of our children before they're born, we may even say that he gathers these little ones into his arms and he carries them in his bosom. We may realize that the Lord is the one who determines our days from the beginning of our days to the end of our days. From our very first breath and even before that when we were formed in our mother's womb, the Lord has cared for us and provided for us. And the fact that we have three children who were born to us as a congregation testifies to us of God's mercy to us. And every child is given to us with a particular purpose. Every child is set apart in the covenant for the purpose of praise of the Lord, of the purpose of worship of God. Even the children, sometimes we're given special children, you know. All children are special, but sometimes we're given special children. And we sometimes struggle with understanding the Lord's providence in that. Children who have challenges, physical or mental, or chronic afflictions or troubles. They're special children, aren't they? We learn much from them. We learn that we're weak. We learn that sin has caused a brokenness in life. These children, they know of their need of the Lord, don't they? They understand that they are to be can only be upheld by the Lord. We know that's true in their lives. And they teach us. And often children who have challenges in life, mental or physical, they learn to trust in the Lord at a very young age. And so we should see all children as being given to us by God and upheld by the Lord. And that those who are made in secret and skillful, all of us are made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, that he has fashioned all of them And we might be comforted to know that our children are in the hands of God, come what may, whatever may occur. How much time do we spend? And, you know, if we collectively would add all the hours we spent worrying about our children, it would go into vast decades and centuries, no doubt. How we can worry about our children, concerns we have about them, be anxious for them, but we need to entrust them to the Lord. We need not to be anxious, for the Lord is the one who upholds them as well as us. Doesn't that give us hope in this life? Can we raise then our children with this greatest expectation that we are to be faithful in teaching and training our children, but in the end, it's the Lord who does this work, isn't it? And we can leave it with Him. And this gives us hope. Also, when we are in the midst of parenting, sometimes it's overwhelming to us, but we can know that the Lord is the one who will uphold us and who will uphold our children too and lead them in the right way. And David knows all this, and so he ends our text anyway with those words of praise. My praise shall be continually of you. Now, there's other parts of the psalm that he reflects on the praise of God as well, and you can reflect on them. But in this verse, he says, my praise shall be continually of you. The life of every covenant member is to live in praise and thanksgiving to our God. Are you teaching that to your children? Are you teaching them to sing to God's praise? Also in the worship service, that children from the very young age, they begin to sing to the praise of God. And they do so continually. And they don't stop when they become a teenager, but they do so every day because this is what God calls them to do, to praise God and to sing to His glory. Are you teaching this to your children when they're before they can even read? Are you following along in the Psalter, pointing the words which you are singing so that they learn that this is what we do when this comes up in the liturgy, when we have a Psalter that we're going to sing, that we say, this is the Psalter. You open the Psalter for them, you turn it to the right page, and you show them the words they're singing. And as they become older, they begin to sing the words. And you raise this expectation in them that they are to live to God's praise all the days of their life, every moment of their days. And so teaching them that it's not about them. You see, that's what's wrong with our society today. And so many people think that life is about themselves. But our life is about living to the praise of God. Are you teaching them that they have been created by God? That God has set them apart in the covenant of grace so that they might give praise to Him continually? And that they might love Him and they might glorify Him all their days. Isn't this the most important aspect of our lives? And isn't this the reason why God has ordained 6 days of work and one day of worship? This pattern might be reflective in our life that we worship God on the Lord's Day in particular, gathering together with His people, singing praise to Him. And so we need to be reminded, and our children need to be reminded, in our selfish and individualistic age, that our primary goal of life is to glorify God. And what matters in the end is not how comfortable we are, or what we have for our own pleasures, or what we have for our own enjoyments. And it doesn't mean we can't have pleasures and enjoyments. We most certainly can, as long as we focus on the fact that all is for the glory of God. That's why God has created the world, you see. It's for that reason He has made our children, forming them in their mother's wombs. It's for that reason that Jesus Christ has come into the world, that we might be spiritually reborn by the Spirit of God, and we might live to the praise of His name. And so as covenant parents, we have this obligation to teach our children to glorify God. And we should have a heart which overflows with thankfulness and reflects this to them too. They're thankful for what God has given to us, for the blessings that He has given to us, also in His Word, that we might learn of Him and we might learn more of ourselves, and that we would repent of our sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in this way, as not only children of the covenant, but also as regenerate, born-again Christians, we might serve the living God. And therefore, we see how this psalm, it teaches us how we're to live, doesn't it? These verses in particular, they teach us how we are to live. We are to live making the same confession as David. But you are the one who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. He says in Psalm 22, a different psalm, I will cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb, you have been my God. And he says the same in this psalm, doesn't he, when he talks about the Lord as his God. And so when we've been baptized as members of his covenant, we are compelled to heed the commandments of God, to pursue holiness, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. You see, the baptism of these three children is perhaps one of the most important, well, not perhaps, it is one of the most important events that will ever happen in their lives. It is one of the most important events that will ever happen in their lives. It's not the only important event, but it's one of the most important. Because it's God coming down to them. And he's promising them to be a God to them. He's promising them to redeem them. He's promising to them to sanctify them by his word and through his spirit. And so if you have been baptized, as most of you probably have, do not underestimate your baptism. God has taken you into his arms. And he has declared, you are mine. He's embraced you in the covenant. How will you respond to that embrace? Will you respond by embracing him and pleading upon Christ's atoning work for you on the cross? You see, God does not only come to you with the promises of the covenant in your baptism, he also sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the mediator of the covenant, so that you might be eternally united to him. And so do not hesitate to cling to him in hope, trusting in him too for your salvation.